Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Every Other Tuesday Night Call, the open calls, and that's what we have tonight. That's why we're here. Hope everybody's had a good couple of weeks. I'm waiting for our other moderators to show their faces on the board. I see Sir John has joined us, and I'm going to unmute him.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
Good. You had a good day. I got the stuff you sent me.
Yeah, and it's freezing here.
Is it really?
It's 56, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, for you, that is freezing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was 49 when I went out and walked, and it was cool. But, you know, it's winter. I mean, what do we expect? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Good grief. Yeah. Well, let's get Terry unmuted here. There we go. Hello, Miss Terry.
Hello, and it's 27 degrees here, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh, boy. We're starting off on a good note tonight, aren't we? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
We got a low of 16 tonight. So, but I am sitting in front of a big roaring fire. You'll be burning stoves in the living room right now.
Well, I can understand you doing that. That's something that is very appropriate given your temperatures. And I'm jockeying something around here. I still don't see Jesse. I think Jesse got lost in the shuffle tonight.
I was just on a long conversation with Ken from Georgia, and he told me something right at the end of the call that you'll get a kick out of. His wife went on vacation to Jamaica to visit her sister, and she insisted on taking enough sulfur and water, e-water, with her for her trip. But she introduced her sister to it when she was in Jamaica, and when it was time to come home, her sister said, "You ain't taking that with you." So I think you're going to be shipping water to Jamaica.
No, I'm not. We're not doing anything international. I'm sorry, but they're going to have to figure out something else on that one.
Well,
good evening, Larry.
You could send it to her.
Hello.
She could send it to her.
Yeah, I can send it down to Atlanta, but I don't do any shipping internationally. I'm up to 29 states we ship to already. It's 60% of the country.
She's like, "No, you're leaving that here."
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Well, everybody, for whatever reason, I'm not seeing Jesse. I don't know whether he is stuck out in the boonies, whether he got tied up or what, but of course, we are here to have a little bit of fun and to talk about legal issues and stupid lawyer moments, if there's some of those, any number of things. But the main thing is we're here to try and help people speak to our experience and our knowledge base that we've acquired over collectively quite a few years. But in doing a disclaimer, I'm going to tell everybody, like Jesse does, that what you hear on this call surely isn't legal advice. First of all, we don't know what it is. I've never been able to define it. I'm not an attorney. Supposedly, you have to be an attorney, a lawyer, to dispense legal advice. Well, none of us are lawyers. If you want a lawyer to give you legal advice, you need to go to your online Yellow Pages, or if you've got an old phone book laying around that might still have a good number in it, then go find yourself an attorney there. But if you're looking for legal advice, you're not going to find it here this week or any week because we just don't give it. We can't. We don't know what it is. So please understand that and take all of our discussions in that context. But we do have litigation going on. Various of us that are moderators have litigation going on. Some do, some don't, and it's in various stages. But we follow the rules of the court. That's one of the big things that we preach, and I dare say we do preach it on an ongoing basis with people, is if you want to be successful in dealing with legal matters, one of the very first things that you absolutely, without question, need to do is to follow the rules of the court, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Federal Rules of Evidence. If you're in appeals court, rules for appeals, which are different than your district courts. But if you don't follow the rules, chances are you're going to get beat, especially if there's a lawyer on the other side, because that's what they learn. They learn procedure, they learn the rules, and they'll trip you up on it as a pro se. That's one of their favorite tricks, and I can't tell you how many different cases I've read about through the years that I've been involved with this, which is going on 10. I can't tell you how many that I've read about where an individual, even lawyers, were beaten by the other side on procedural violations. They did not do something in a timely manner. They violated the rules, and the court said, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. Some courts are very, very meticulous on that. Others are a little more lax, but take it for granted, you have to follow the rules.
Sometimes rules are a little bit ambiguous and not exactly totally clear, so you really have to make sure you understand what that rule is requiring.
Right, and if you're not sure, then you need to do some research and possibly, talk to somebody at Legal Aid, although some of the lawyers in Legal Aid aren't the smartest people in the in the world. That's why some of them are doing that.
We have had members who have had, you know, similar situations and ended up getting shot in the foot. Not because they didn't follow the rules, but because they didn't understand the rule exactly, and then they got nailed on it.
Right. But the bottom line is, you know, you need to know what the rules are. They're all out there. It's all available online. And if in doubt, ask questions and make sure of something when it comes to asking a legal question. Don't call your court clerk, because they're not going to answer you. They're going to say, I can't give you legal advice, and, you know, that's going to be the end of it. If you want to know about procedure, then you can talk to your court clerk, because they can ask and are supposed to answer, and they're supposed to answer procedural questions, but not legal questions. So the bottom line is, if you want to be successful, that's where it starts, is knowing what the rules are. And, you know, you can be the best writer of pleadings and everything else, but if you don't know what the rules are and you don't follow them, there's a good chance you're going to come out on the short end of the stick. So don't do that. But I'm still looking for Mr. Jesse, but I think something's happened with him. I don't know where he is at the present time, but we've got Larry, we've got John, we've got Terry and myself. We got four of the bunch. And Jesse, there's Mr. Jesse. He's way down there. He sneaked in down at the bottom. Mr. Jesse, you sneaked in when I wasn't looking.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you guys either. Sorry, man. It has been a hectic day. Mom has finally got the clearance to get out of that convalescent home. And we're just making arrangements for her and Dad and everybody to get taken care of. And my wife and I barely got through the door. So we've just been...
Oh, man.
It's been a busy last couple of days, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't even imagine with all that kind of stuff when you're dealing with family members and issues and stuff. You know, it's...
Yeah. Well, surprisingly enough,
things, but...
even my wife and my wife and I noticed today she did her afternoon therapy, and it's crazy what therapy will do when you're that old. I mean, my mother's 75; she's no spring chicken, and it blew us away that the mobility and the stability she's gained 20 or 30 days exactly today after breaking her femur, she is more stable today than she was before she ever fell. It's unbelievable what a little exercise will do for somebody at that age.
Yeah, and especially, you know, if you haven't been doing it beforehand, you've been kind of sedate and stuff. The physical therapists aren't paid to let you sit there and look at you.
Yeah, she's a couch potato. Not anymore. She's up and running around. She's 75, Terry. So she's no spring chicken, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I get out and I'm moving around a whole lot more than I was before I started drinking that water. I'll tell you what, a good example of that was less than 2 weeks ago. I had a situation where I lost the sound on the computer that I use for, you know, all the email and the platform for these calls and everything. And when I had been down under my desk playing with a wire, so to speak, because all my stuff is hardwired, I don't use wireless. When I had been down there over the last several years, when I went to get up out of there, oh boy, I was stiff and everything, and it was a chore getting up on my feet. And I'll tell you what, I was under there, I found a cord unplugged to my speaker, I got that fixed, and I came out from underneath the desk, and I just stood right up like I would have about 5-10 years ago, and it was such a stark difference. I stopped and thought about it. But it's because I've been more active and stuff with what I've been doing with the water and just feeling better with it. So, I can appreciate what your mom, the difference in what your mom's dealing with, because that's kind of what I have. Fortunately, I didn't break anything and have to go through therapy. But and, of course, you know, I'm an old goat, too. Mm-hmm. I'm 72.
Yeah, so. But you walk and you do a lot more. She's pretty sedentary and. You know,
yeah.
She's not one to be out and about a whole lot. So, I mean, it's not the difference between you and her. And and you're relatively in good shape. But she's not.
Jesse.
She's overweight, short, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she's doing better. That's the most important thing.
Give her Dave's water and then send her to North Carolina and I'll have her kayak.
Yeah. She can't
yeah,
swim, by
right.
the way.
Oh, man, I can see that.
Yeah,
I can just
swim,
see Jesse's mom rolling
anymore.
Down the river on a kayak with Carrie. Okay, you got to stay on the right over here. Watch those rocks.
I would take her out on the lake.
Oh, goodness. Oh, who's clunking around making all that
pretty
noise?
Funny.
That's got to be Jesse.
Oh, I just stepped
it's
outside.
Me.
It's just windy, Dave. It's cold and windy in Florida, buddy.
Yeah, John was complaining about it being about 56 degrees.
Yeah.
And that is cold for you.
Yeah, it's 23 up Pensacola, and it was, 40 this morning here. And it's supposed to be even colder than that tomorrow. So we'll see. I got to drive to Pensacola tomorrow afternoon, so I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to wear your shorts.
7-hour drive and cold. No, not today. I'm pretty brave, but I'm not that stupid. You know?
I thought the shorts would stay home on that trip. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I didn't see you on the board. You came in late. I did a disclaimer and warned everybody. So we're free and clear to talk and keep our butts out of the sling one more week anyway. So
there you go.
Has anybody got any good news, any of the moderators?
I don't have anything.
Everybody's stumbling over each other.
We don't have anything of importance.
Yeah. Larry, you got something?
I just hit a chair.
Yeah, I can't say a lot about it now, but I'm really liking NCTUE.
Oh.
And when I say like, I actually mean the opposite.
Larry, I didn't send it to you, but I will. Send me an email and remind me so I don't forget. There was a ruling on joint motions for summary judgment, in Thomas's case in Georgia with the NCGU Equifax thing.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. You have it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was going to send it to you, and I didn't include you when I sent it to Dave and John.
Yeah.
You liking that?
We have the same attorney.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So you know what's going on, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I
understand why Larry can't say much about it right now, but I can see why you're liking it. I like it.
Yeah. So,
all right, well, that's good.
It shouldn't be long now before something happens.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to get a checkbook out.
Are they dealing with Kim and Spalding on that, Equifax?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, have fun. Let them have
it. Yeah. By the way, this would be a good time, and I've done this a few times before. It's been a while. But I would strongly suggest to everybody out there in listening land, if you do not have a copy of your NCTUE report, call them up and order it. It just takes a few minutes. Really simple. I'll give you the number. It's 866-343-2821. And I'll repeat that in just a minute. Huh?
Repeat that.
Sure. 866-343-2821. It's NCTUE, which is the National Consumer Telecom and Utilities Exchange.
Okay. Is it NCTUE?
Now, Larry, let me ask you a simple question. What is the big difference between it? Well, I'm sorry, Terry. Go ahead, sweetie. I didn't hear you talk.
Oh, okay. No, I just want to clarify for everybody. When you call and request your report, does NCTUE have more than one database or more than one type of report, or are you simply asking for their file on you?
They should only have one report, but who knows? You know, they have an arrangement with another large credit reporting agency.
Well,
much to their detriment.
They don't maintain or disseminate their own database. Exactly.
That is correct. Yeah, that was a mistake on their part, to say the least. Anyway, what it should show, and it's right there in the name, Telecom and Utilities Exchange, it should show, you know, your cable, your phone, that sort of thing.
Right.
You also want to look for inquiry.
Power company, gas company. I got mine in the past, and all my utilities and telecommunications bills were in there.
Yeah. Now, that's not necessarily the important thing, although, as with any credit report, you want to look at it and see if it's accurate. But particularly what you're looking for is inquiries. And that's especially true for any of you who have ever made a dispute with Equifax. And I will leave it at that.
For future discussion.
For future discussion.
So, Larry, what's the big difference between the two or three major reporting agencies and these guys? Just educate us a little bit here.
Sure. Well, and Terry can educate us even more because she's the expert. But the three major reporting credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, are going to give you information on your loans, mortgages, credit cards, that sort of thing. This particular credit reporting agency, and there's a bunch of them that are more specialized, they're only going to report, or should only be reporting, things like we just were talking about. Cable, phone, gas.
Utilities and telephone.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are we looking for when you say, is there
like
some other stuff that shouldn't be in there?
Well, you never know. I wouldn't. That's not the main goal. The main goal is to look for inquiries. But like I said, especially if you've ever disputed your credit report with Equifax.
Now I'm gonna give you a little bit of information, Jesse, about the NCTUE report. You'll notice major difference when you get the report between a normal credit report and an NCTUE, because on a normal credit report, you see you've got furnishers and you've got trade lines in there, and it might show up to date or delinquent, you know, whatever. Well, with an NCTUE report, it shows your actual payments and the dates on which they were made. So if you, like for instance, your power company is in there, and it goes month by month when you made the payment and how much you made. You get a lot more information, and I will say that mine, when I got it, was absolutely accurate because you could see a real true record of the account in there. But that's not guaranteed that it's going to be accurate, so you should check. But the real important value of it is, as Larry is saying, the inquiries. Who is obtaining it besides you?
Interesting.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear that activity there, and what's going on is favorable to our side of the table. We'll just say that at this point in time. And go get your reports and then look at them. And then, you know, if you've got questions when you get those reports going forward, you can get on the calls and ask about it.
Yeah, Jesse, I'll forward to you what we're talking about. It's not something that we can discuss on the open calls because it is an ongoing case and stuff, but that is on the record, and it's a court ruling. I'll forward it to you, and then you'll understand, you know, why Larry's saying what Larry's saying.
Be sure you're sitting down. It's 70 pages long.
Yeah, it was pretty
long. Holy cow.
It didn't even take me 10 minutes to get through it. Jesse, you got to get some speed reading, dude.
Yeah. Well, it took me a while to get through it. But yeah, they put there was a lot of work that went into that ruling, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of work.
There's a magistrate out there who knows her stuff.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And
all right. Well, yep. And I'll tell you what, there's potential there for other people depending on what you've got. So get to call and get your NCTUE report. And then if there's things that look out of whack on it or don't appear correct, then, you know, if you've got questions on that, come back on the calls in the future and bring it up.
I would
go
with that advice, Dave. Is that each year when you request your full file disclosure, no more credit program, when you request your full file disclosure in writing to the big CRAs, do your NCTUE and your LexisNexis as well.
That's not a bad idea, as long as you're sitting down to send out some correspondence, make a request of all of them. Just do them at one time, and then
done. And not only that, but that can lead to very lucrative stuff for you going forward in regards to what you get in response from them.
Right, depending on what you get. Correct.
Carrie, is there any merit in requesting them in a certain order, or should you do them all at once together?
You can do them all at once. It really doesn't matter.
There's no advantage to staggering it.
Okay.
The more information, the quicker you get it, the better you are.
Okay.
Right, because the easier it is to compile, compare, and analyze.
Okay. Well, I think we covered that pretty well. Let's see if the callers have questions or good news for us. If you have good news, we always want to hear good news or stupid lawyer moments. I mean, we like a good laugh anytime we can get it. But if you have a question or good news for us or a stupid lawyer moment, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That will put you in the queue. It'll show up where I can see you and we can call on you. And if
Dave,
you,
sorry, excuse me. Before you get anybody else on the line, can I bring up a important point that's very timely?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. The Equifax breach settlement deadline is tomorrow. And that's actually the website, Equifax breach settlement. And Terry, you probably know more about this than I do, but if you're going to ask for the cash, which I think it originally was up to $250, then it was up to $125, and now it's probably like $7 or less. You can also get, you can also get free credit monitoring for several years, and you can also get up to 10 hours without any documentation whatsoever at $25 an hour if you spent any time dealing with the breach. So, Terry, what's your opinion or anybody else on how to handle
that? My opinion is pretty straightforward on this. AOC destroyed any monetary compensation
right.
for anybody. Okay, she did that before the ink was dry. I personally consider any services from Equifax to be useless. However, something is better than nothing, and what you're going to end up with monetarily, should you choose to go that route, is nothing. So get what you can get, that's what I say, and go for the alternative settlement, as Larry laid it out. But do it.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to sue, because remember, if you opt into the class, you can't turn around and sue them, but I'm not sure if the statute of limitations passed on that breach.
And just to be specific, Terry, you cannot sue them for anything that happened solely because of the breach, not for any other reason. Is that a true statement?
What's that now?
If you opt into the system, you cannot sue them for anything related to the breach. That doesn't cover anything else they might have done.
Oh, yes. That would only lock you out of suing them for anything that occurred, let's say, a year after the breach, your identity was stolen and all kinds of nasty stuff happened to you. If you opt into the class, you would not be able to go after them for those damages. However, even though the breach may be past SOL now, and I think it may be, it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. It could be way down the line before the a subsequent personal damage to you might be discovered. So think about that before you decide if you want to be involved or included in the class action settlement.
Yeah, and if you're included in the class, that just means you can still sue them if they mishandled a dispute that you made, something
right,
simple like
something
that.
Not
something unrelated.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, you know, that's good information to know. You know, it's there is a time element there, like Larry says, tomorrow's the deadline, so make a decision and live with it. All right, well, we've got several people that raised their hands, and I'm going to say again before we even get started on them, you know, we've got other people on the call. Don't sit there and wait and think, well, I'll go ahead and I'll put my hand up and jump in later. No, get yourself in the queue if you want to ask a question, because if we get down to where there's nobody left in the queue with their hand up with a question or good news, then we're going to go about our business and do other things, which is what we do. We don't come on here just to hear ourselves make noise. The whole idea is to help you guys. If we're not helping you, then we're going to go help ourselves something, and I might go help myself to a little bit of really good vanilla ice cream. So I can't do that while I'm on the call. And, you know, so don't think I'm going to hang around here. I was pretty good today, so I think I deserve a treat. So anyway, if you're on this call and you want to give us a stupid lawyer moment or anything else, put your hand up now. The one key on the keypad on your phone is how you're going to do it. And with all that said, let's go to the person that has all ones on their number, maybe an internet call or whatever, but you were just unmuted. So go ahead with your question or whatever you have for us.
Okay, how's everybody doing? This is Brian and Kim.
Hi, Brian. Kim, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. To catch up to where we were before, in September, I had filed a motion to dismiss for relief that couldn't be granted. And then on November 26th, Bank of America filed a motion for summary judgment right before the arbitration. Okay, the arbitration was court ordered for the 26th. Then they asked for a continuance, and they were granted the continuance. Right after they were granted the continuance, they filed a hearing for the motion for summary judgment and the motion to dismiss. Okay, so now the lawyer called me yesterday and told me that they were trying to continue with the arbitration because it was court ordered, and then, you know, because they know they had jumped the gun and tried to, like you said, short circuit the procedures. Okay, mm-hmm. So now took the motion for summary judgment off the docket. And so now they're off. So now they called me up yesterday to ask me if I can take off the motion to dismiss off the docket, because now they want to go through with the summary judgment. I mean, they want to go through with the arbitration. So
well,
I didn't know.
Well, why would you want to withdraw your motion to dismiss?
Right, but that was what we were trying to figure out. So I told the lawyer, no. I said, well, what happened to the original lawyer? She said, well, he left the firm a month ago. After he did all these filings, he left the firm.
Interesting.
So he's trying
yeah.
to catch up and
well, you know, here again, my question is, think about this just for a second. Or maybe two or three or four. Why would you want to withdraw your motion to dismiss?
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
It was
okay. Well, then don't. See, I asked you why would you want to. So you don't want to. Doesn't that just answer the question?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you just got to look at the obvious. I don't want to dismiss it. They want me to do it. You know, go pound sand. No. Let's let the court
right.
decide. If the court
right.
says, no, I'm going to deny your motion to dismiss, okay, well, then you go to arbitration. But which is going to happen first? What? And see, this is a question we don't know the answer to at this point. Because you don't know how the court is going to handle it, whether the court is going to address the motion to dismiss first or whether they're going to require that you go to arbitration first. But that's called hurry up and wait to find out what the court does, isn't it?
True. True. So this is still set for the 29th. And,
well, what is set for the 29th specifically?
The hearing.
Specifically, what?
Well, the hearing was for the motion to dismiss and the summary judgment, but they took the summary judgment off, so the only thing left on the docket now is the motion to dismiss.
Okay. Well, then let the court go through the hearing on the motion to dismiss, and they're either going to say granted, and then you're done, or they're going to say your motion is denied. You're going to go to arbitration.
Cool. So in the meantime, should I – I know when we were on the call last week, we were talking about sending a notice to the court that there has been no opposition filed from the plaintiff to the defendant for the motion to dismiss. So,
right.
I should still put this in a week before, or?
Well, let's look at things from a procedural standpoint. Now that the summary judgment is no longer there, the summary judgment is off the table. So the only thing you've got is your motion to dismiss that you filed probably, what, 2-3 months ago?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. And they were required to answer within, oppose that if they're going to oppose it within so many days. The rules state how long they have to file an opposition, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, then I think what I would do probably would be to file a notice with the court of the plaintiff's failure to file a timely opposition to your motion to dismiss, and therefore request that in light of rule so-and-so, find out what the rule number is that requires them to answer within so many days on a motion to dismiss, cite that rule and cite their failure to oppose it, and the court should grant the motion to dismiss. But look up that rule number that has to do with the time limit that they have to respond to, or that anybody has to respond to a motion filed with the court, whether it's, like 14 days, but cite the rule. Defendant wishes to apprise the court of the fact that plaintiff has failed to file a timely opposition to plaintiff's motion to or defendant's motion to dismiss, and therefore this case should be dismissed under Rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for failure to oppose the motion.
Okay.
And see, you're putting that out there. They can't come back and say, well, we'll do it. Well, no, the rule says you had to do it within 14 days or whatever it is. And if you filed that motion 2 months ago, they didn't oppose it. Well, they got a problem, don't they?
Yeah.
They can't say, we'll do it now. Well, no, the rules say you had to do it, 6 weeks ago, and you failed to do so.
Okay.
I don't know if the other moderators have a different idea of how to approach that, but I think that's the way I would approach it.
About the same, yeah, Dave. Makes sense.
But you definitely want to point to the rule, The rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clearly states that an answer must be an opposition to a motion must be filed within X number of days of a motion being filed. In the instant case, and that's what you can say, those are the words, in the instant case, that means the case that you're in right there. In the instant case, defendant filed this motion to dismiss on October 26th, and here it is some 68 days later, and the plaintiff has failed to file any opposition to that in a time period well in excess of what is allowed under Rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But you definitely want to, cite the rule.
Okay.
Make a big deal about that.
Okay.
Your Honor, silence is acquiescence. if you're into hearing, Your Honor, silence is acquiescence. I filed this in October, and they haven't said a word. And here they attempt to file something 5 days ago with the court. That's not a timely answer. The rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 says it must be filed within 14 days. They failed to do so. The rules are for everybody, aren't they, Your Honor? Silence is acquiescence. They didn't argue. They lose.
Right. Okay.
Now, the court could, if the court would follow through and dismiss, more than likely they're going to dismiss with prejudice. Now, that, of course, means that they could turn right around and refile because it was without prejudice if they wanted to, engage you again and go at it again. But then they'd have to pay a filing fee and so on and so forth. And, it's a matter of do they want to do that? But I think that's the way I would handle it.
Okay. So now I had told this lawyer that I would give them a call in a couple of days, which would be, tomorrow. Should I let them know that that I'm not going to
Are you a man of your word?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, well, then you know what you need to do. You told them you were going to do something. So what you do is you call them back and you tell them, unfortunately, we're in a situation here where I filed this motion to dismiss so many weeks ago, and under the rules, we were required to, the plaintiff was required to oppose it within X number of days, whatever the rule says. There's been no response to it whatsoever. Therefore, I am going to notice the court, and I will send you a copy of the fact that there has been no opposition and no filing in opposition to the motion to dismiss, and the court should grant it under Rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tell them what you're going to do. And, of course, they're not going to like it. What they're going to do is all of a sudden they're going to scramble and they're going to try and file something in the court. But then when you go into the hearing, you can say, look, Your Honor, the rule says they get 14 days, not 14 weeks. they've had ample time to do this, and they are required to follow the rules just like I am, are they not?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So will they, after I tell them this, will they be able to go ahead and put their motion – put summary judgment back on the docket?
No. Because you're not in a position to do summary judgment. They were premature before on summary judgment. They'd be premature at this point.
Okay. Great.
I mean, you don't know. I'm not saying that they wouldn't do it, but if they did it again, it'd still be improper just like it was and why they withdrew it. It doesn't change whether it's proper or improper. The court, the thing that's on the schedule is to hear the motion to dismiss. And you've got a good solid grounds to win that because they never opposed it. But that doesn't guarantee the court's going to do that. But you darn sure want to go in and make a strong argument for it. You know, Your Honor, the rules are for everyone, are they not? Well, the rule says 14 days to answer. They haven't answered, and they've had 7 weeks, 9 weeks, 13 weeks, whatever it is. Whatever, you know, you look at your records and find and see when it was filed, you know, you point that out. Your Honor, that's not a minor discrepancy. It's not like a day or two late. All of a sudden here when they find themselves in a corner, they want to bend the rules. In fact, they want to bend them so far they're going to break, and that shouldn't be allowed. The rules are for everyone.
Okay. So when I talk to them tomorrow, after I tell them this, then I can just say, do you want to settle? I can now.
Well, you can say that. You can say, well, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I've gone back and looked at the details of the situation, and no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to I want to move forward with a motion to dismiss, and because you've never answered it in your long past the time to oppose the motion to dismiss, and it should be granted by the court. Now, you know, if your client would like to settle, you know, have some discussions of settlement with this, I'd be more than happy to do that. But in the meantime, I'm just going to move forward with my motion to dismiss. Is there anything else we need to discuss today? Just, be nice, but play the hardball. You know, just lay it on the line. Say, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes.
You know, and they're going to be going, oh, crap, that other lawyer didn't put that in. And, you know, don't be surprised if they file something with the court and point fingers, oh, we had a lawyer, he left the firm, and he screwed this up, and he didn't do this. And, you know, it was, honest error on our part, and the case shouldn't be dismissed because of that. And, well, Your Honor, the rules are the rules. I mean, these people are officers of the court. They should know these rules, and they should take care of their work. If I didn't do something, I wouldn't get any slack. Why should they? The rules are for everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and, you know, court's got to sit there and go, well, you know, Mr. Green's got
right.
A point there, and I'm going to dismiss this without prejudice. And if you want to refile, that's up to you. The judge could do that.
Okay. So I was looking at that as a stupid lawyer moment because
Oh yeah. Stupid lawyer moment. Oh well, you know, he did that and he this guy left the firm. Well, whose fault is that? Is it mine? No. Dum de dum dum.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, I appreciate that. He'll be working on that tonight so he can file it in a couple of days. Now, my question is, I had filed a complaint in federal under Informa Pauperis, and I just received a denial letter from the judge. And now I'm asking, because I want to do a motion to reconsider the court denial. A plaintiff's application. But
why did the court reject it? Did they give an explanation?
They did. They had two reasons. They said one was plaintiffs seek an actual statutory damage but does not allege what her actual damages are. And the second one was because of the income. I don't know why they think that, but was sufficient enough to pay the filing fee.
They said your income was sufficient enough to pay it?
Yes. Plaintiffs also reports having a value of a home, vehicles, and that's the plaintiff's report that no one relies on her for support. And giving plaintiff's assets and relatively high combined monthly income, the court finds that plaintiff has sufficient funds to pay the filing fee. Even though we told the court that we only had so much money in the bank and how much all this fees are costing, that was their determination.
Well, if you've got money, if you've got funds, it's not like, well, you know, we don't want to spend those on this case, so you should let us file it for free. They're looking at it, if you've got money, you should pay. And I think you more than likely have a hard time getting around that.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to work this out.
I mean, you know, if you told the court you only had $36 on a savings account, and you're, you know, you have very little food to eat and so on and so forth, you got an argument there. But if you're talking about you got money in the bank and stuff, well, they're saying, okay, well, you got money. It's just you don't want to spend it for this. You want to spend it for other things. And no, you can't do that. If you've got money in the bank and you want to file a lawsuit, you have the wherewithal to do it, and you should pay it.
Okay.
And you can't
lie
about that.
That's the way they're going to
get trouble.
Right.
But
yeah.
If you had a bank account that was held by an LLC and a vehicle that was in an LLC, you might be able to get around that. That's why direct people to the protecting your money section. But it takes time to get that set up in advance.
Right, right. You got to do all that stuff in advance if you think you're going to be doing all this kind of stuff. That isn't anything you can do short term and stuff, because, you know, the if you did some of that and you came back and tried to do things again, they're going to say, well, you know, what happened to that money you had? What happened to the car you had? You know, did you give it all away to people?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to work this out because we are telling the truth. We don't have these funds. We just filed two of these in federal court. That's $400. That's $800 right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will do what I need to do to put the right wording in here. But my question is, if I decide to do that, we talked about declarations and affidavits before and expensively. Is that a good place to add that to something like this?
Well, for what purpose? What would be your purpose in using an affidavit or a declaration?
Well, I'm swearing under earth, listen to me. I'm swearing under oath that the funds that we do have is legit and saying that we do not have the money to file. So that's my thought that would be.
Well, now, wait a minute. You said the court said, according to what you evidently, when you filed for informa pauperis, you had to give them some kind of a listing of what assets you had, you know, money in the bank, vehicles, house, so on and so forth. Okay, how is that going to change? You put a declaration, well, now you don't have a house or cars or money in the bank? I mean, I don't understand how you're thinking you would change things any. I mean, if you already told them
you have
those things.
Well,
the court's already taken your word for it.
But
the court's already believing you.
And that is true. Now, when we filed, we were not collecting Medicare. Is that aid? No, here. At the time. Now we are now officially on
Medicare.
Medicare. And now they're taking even more money out of our Social Security because of this. So
okay, then what you need to do when you when you file a motion to reconsider based on a change in your financial condition and outline that for the court due to the added burden of Medicare deductions from Social Security, your regular income has decreased.
Yes.
Right.
That is
exactly. Yeah, what you're justifying your request for reconsideration
for
because you have honestly had a change in circumstances.
Right. That's reasonable.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to go into affidavits or a declaration on that.
No.
You just make those statements. See, it's explaining the pieces of the puzzle so the court can go, oh, well, before they said they had X, now they've only got Z because all of a sudden Medicare has taken this stuff out. And, of course, you know, that stuff started the, you know, beginning of the year.
The court
and
is taking
it for granted. You're honest. Yeah, you when you made your application for a form of PAPRIS, that was before the new Medicare year started, and that's what changed things because of the first of the year, the new plan year.
And because when you fill out a form for inform of PAPRIS, that for all intents and purposes is under oath, by the way, and the court is making the assumption that when you filled it out, all of that information is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge. The court is not doubting your word. However, reality now is a little different than reality when you filled that out. The court is not going to be unreasonable and think that you're lying about it. You just have to be very straightforward and outline exactly how and why your financial condition is less than it was when you filled out that form.
Right. And then see what they say. What you're doing is you're giving them something to hang their hat on, justification to reverse the court's decision and say, well, okay, we understand now you don't have so much money as you appeared to have before. Because of the Medicare stuff, so on and so forth. So we'll go ahead and we'll grant the inform of PAPRIS.
And always keep in mind, it happened to me in the past, but it has happened to some others, that if you have a fairly substantial lawsuit and you end up settling, the court could require you to pay the filing fee retroactively from your settlement if it chooses to. The court always has that right. So always keep that in mind. Like I said, it's not happened to me, but I have a couple of our members that it did happen to.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, is it wise to fill out another form, too, to go with that?
When you file your motion for reconsideration, attach as an exhibit to it a new form with the current correct information. You know, please, in your motion, reference the attached amended application with the correct information as of this
current
point
information.
In time. The current information as of the date of filing.
Thank you. Oh, I just love you guys. Thank you. This is so helpful. I appreciate it. I really do. Okay. I'm good. I'm very, very good. I will give someone else another chance to speak, and have a wonderful evening. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
All right. You're very welcome, dear.
Appreciate you.
Okay. Let's go down the list here again. I'm going to remind everybody, if you've got questions, a stupid lawyer moment, good news for us. We love good news. Hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. That'll put you in the queue. And in the meantime, we're going to go to 704. You are unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. That's probably me. This is Loretta. Have a question about, let me get my paper up here. Outline, like, how would you address outlying whenever that is presented in case law?
I don't understand what it is you're talking about, the context of it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, where they take the context of the law and, like, print whatever they decide they want to print. And not the
complete law. I still don't understand.
Okay.
I don't understand your question, you know, the context of what it is that's going on and what you're asking,
unfortunately. Let me get back in line because I just had a visitor come in my room. I'll get back in line. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And I got to make a quick little note here. And we're going to go to 832. 832, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have I guess a question. I need some clarity on, when an actual violation of of improper venue takes place, because, like, I'm reading some case law. One side is saying one thing, and the other side is saying another. Like, for instance, I was looking at a court case, I think it was Cerner versus law office of Joseph in the Fifth Circuit, and they were saying that the violation doesn't occur until the person actually receives notice of the complaint through a summons, because they said that the person who files a wrong venue, I mean, files a suit in the wrong venue, they have an opportunity to cure that by electing not to, serve the individual and possibly redact the complaint before the.
You mean withdraw the complaint?
Withdraw the complaint.
Right. Okay. Well, you were served with yours, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Well, then that's a non-issue, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the reason why I'm bringing that up is to, in regards to the statute of limitations, because if the violation doesn't occur until you receive it, then the statute of limitations starts to count when you receive it. They were saying that. Because I've seen some case law where it says that it starts as soon as the person files it. But then there's some other case law that says no, that's not necessarily the case, because the person can withdraw the complaint before the person even
I would have to read different cases and see what the overall circumstance was and what the arguments were and everything. I can see the possibility of it going either way, but it depends on the arguments made on things. But you're concerned with something. Where are you in your settlement?
They haven't responded back. I sent an email. They didn't respond. So that's why I was trying to figure out if they know that, or if maybe they know that I might be privy to that.
Have you tried calling him?
I haven't called him in a while, because I think the last time I called him, they kept saying that they were out of the office. And then when I emailed them, they would respond. So I'm like, which one is it? Like, either you're there or you're not there. It was weird.
Right.
So like it got to a point where it's like, all right, I call them, but they don't want to pick up and they don't want to talk to me. But then when I emailed them, he would, the guy would respond. So I wasn't.
Well, when was it that you sent him the most recent the email after we talked and you said, well, you know, you were going to go back and say, well, hey, I've thought things through and I'll go ahead and accept your offer. Send me a draft settlement agreement. That's where we left it the last time we spoke, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but
so you sent him that email, right?
Right.
When was that?
I want to say that was Monday.
Of this week?
No. Take that back. No. That was Friday. That was Friday last week.
Friday last week. Okay.
Right.
All right. And this is Tuesday.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, we had a holiday. Some attorneys work on Martin Luther King Day. Some don't. There's a lot of them, you know, the federal holiday, but you don't know. Different firms are different ways. My thinking is you're not really that far out from Friday. You haven't tried calling them since?
No, I haven't tried. Because like I said, like before, when I would call them, they wouldn't. It's like every time I would call.
That was before. We're in the present day, so don't think just because they did something before, they were the ones that made the offer to settle. Okay, well, what does that indicate to you? They want to make this go away, right? They're the ones that were saying, hey, you know, we'll give you $5,000, you know, and you're saying, well, yeah, but I want to kind of play hardball, which wasn't a good idea, but we've already discussed that. So. That was Friday. We had a holiday in here, and might be some people that took a long weekend. Who knows? You know, we don't know what they're doing. If I were in your shoes, I would call them tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I would follow up the call with an email. Okay. Now, if you don't get to talk to them when you call, then you send them an email, say, well, you know, Mr. Jones, I attempted to call today, but I was not able to get in touch with you. Please reference my email dated Friday, January, whatever, 17th. And regarding settlement, I'd like to discuss this matter with you. Or if you do talk to them, and whatever you come up with, then send them an email. Well, this is just to confirm our conversation today regarding settlement and where we agreed, but send them an email either way, because what you're doing is you're putting something in writing that is evidence before the court, potentially, you know, in the future if you need it. And it's showing, well, I tried calling you, you didn't answer. And the other scenario is, well, hey, we called today and we discussed, this is what we discussed. I just wanted to put this in writing, make a record of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason for that is you are making a record that's admissible, you know, because emails are admissible in court, should you ever need it in the future.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'd call them. You know, sometimes you got to remember, you're not the only person they're dealing with in a lawsuit. It's their business. They may have a bunch of stuff going on. They may be in a crunch preparing for a trial that's coming up this week or something. You know, who knows? Some attorneys are very good in getting back to you quickly. Sometimes things run a little bit slower, but... that doesn't mean you got to sit back on your heels. Stay with it.
Okay. But like as far as the whole thing with the I guess with the statute of limitations going either way, if they
I think I would cross that bridge when I came to it. I don't think I'd get myself all up about it.
Okay. All right.
That's my personal opinion. You know.
Okay. I mean, like again, I just at the same time, like I've seen some cases where I just want to be prepared in advance, and that's the reason why I'm asking these questions. An instance where,
I said, I personally, without doing any research on it, I can see an argument both ways. I don't know. I haven't had any personal experience with that. But, you know, if you want to go out there and dig into all sorts of stuff and find case law either way, just for your own edification, okay. But I wouldn't get myself so wound up. I'd look on the positive side. Well, hey, I got to get this wrapped up. They want to settle with me. They offered me $5,000. So I'd spend more of my effort pursuing that and getting that $5,000 and saying goodbye than I would, you know, trying to figure out a way to put out a fire that you don't even know is burning.
I get your point. Well, that's all the questions that I have, man. I thank you guys for taking out the opportunity to answer my questions. Appreciate it.
Sure. Sure. Well, that's why we're here. All right. You're very welcome. You have a great evening.
All right. You too.
All right. Let's see here. I am going to... let's see. What are we doing here? Let's go to 816.
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Getting clearer. Okay.
Well, that's good.
I'm the car accident
lady.
the latest
right?
one. That, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I've got to find out if am I clear that sometimes where would I go on the website to ask if you all will look at something I'm getting ready to file, or should I have you work with a willing attorney, or will you all, some of these are pretty big and I'm not, I haven't filed any ever, even in small claims, and I don't want it thrown out because remember I do drive, and so I can listen to what's on the website, but the time element of what's going on, I don't want to file and then fall on my face because I'm busy driving and I should have had an attorney or somebody, you know, you all, or you refer me to somebody that can look over this and make sure I crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's and not just waste money and time.
Unfortunately, we don't do that. We've had many people that want us to, I mean, we don't provide a service where we, you know, check over people's documents. I personally can tell you, I've had a lot, an awful lot of people ask me to do that through the years. I've had people offer to pay me for my time and pay me quite well for my time. We just don't do it. Because there's way too many of you out there and there's only a handful of us, you know, there's five of us on this call. We got five fingers here and there's literally hundreds to thousands of you guys. We just can't do it. That's why we provide the information and people have to study for themselves. What I would suggest would be to, if you want somebody else to look over things, if you want to get some other opinions to help you, is post what you're thinking about filing on the forum.
Okay.
And request input from other readers.
You can find yourself a study buddy, somebody who's maybe an older member, been around a little longer, to study with, and I highly recommend doing that. Dave and I have been partners, so to speak, for many years, longer than we've been involved in this, and we always edit for each other.
I look at his stuff, he looks at mine, and it's very, very helpful because one rule that'll never change is that it's guaranteed that you will never be your own best editor.
Right.
Right.
That's
I find mistakes that Terry makes, and she does the same for me.
Well, and on another note, since I asked a question before in another call, I have actually come across an attorney that is a likely candidate to be able to understand what is on the website. Now, he is actually, he told me outright, and he's a young, he's been in the Missouri legislature for 5 years, but he's not in there right now. On this particular case where the wreck happened on the 15th of November, he said, he not only sent me all these books, he said on a phone call with me, he said, I will help you do your verified claims. I'll walk you through it. Or you can hire us. Either way. And when I found that out, and he already, I didn't ask him for any of the books. And these are, of course, everything to do with the accident and insurance and all of that kind of stuff. And I did ask him one other question, and I said, do you work on other things besides injury claims? And he said, yes, but if I don't on whatever your matter is, and I didn't tell him anything about, you know, what lies in your debt or any of that, and not just, I didn't want to keep on the phone and keep talking. He said, but I can refer you to others that can help you if I am not in that particular arena of law. And so with that kind of congeniality, I didn't know if it would be wise for me to open up what I'm working on after, because this is a relatively cut and dry claim on the car accident, the recent car accident. But I thought about, because the car accident, there's been three accidents in 3 years, and the one 3 years ago, now they're starting to get judgments against those hospital bills that we were covered with the insurance. But as I mentioned in another time, they said on the first phone call to the other Michelle, they said, if you were driving the car, we will not cover you. And she said, I wasn't driving the car. It was the other Michelle. And by the second phone call, they said, we're only going to pay $1,000. And, of course, the hospital bills from that accident were $40,000. So now, 3 years later, they're getting judgments. I mean, I didn't even know. I went into that, you know, thing where you forget everything. And the last thing I remembered was just don't hit anyone. And I went off on the shoulder and the car rolled five times, and it rolled five times and end to end twice. So then I woke up in the CAT scan. Well, now they're getting judgments on that, and that's why I went into all of this to ask you all, would it possibly be wise for him, and I'm still within the statute of limitations in Missouri. When they sent the $1,000, they divided it between the ambulance bill, which was $850, and whatever some other first medical bill, and then the $30,000 bill from the hospital, so I didn't cash I didn't do anything. And now I'm getting, they're trying to do service and all this kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, is it wise to have some of this I'm studying on the website and have him look at it as open as he is, which is why I even opened my mouth as long as this car.
Well, my thoughts at this point, given what you have explained here with this stuff, he is a personal injury attorney, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think and I'm giving you my opinion. This is not the opinion of everybody, all the other moderators. I'm giving you my personal opinion. I would hire the attorney because you don't know enough about personal injury to be able to fight off insurance companies that have got lots of money for lawyers.
Yes.
You just would not be competent, and the information we have on the website is not going to make you competent in dealing with attorneys for an insurance company.
And I'll put my two cents in there. I agree with everything Dave just said, and I would just add this. I absolutely would do that because it's a personal injury thing, and I have a history in the insurance industry, excuse me, and you're not equipped to deal with that with litigation, okay? But if this attorney, the one you're talking about, if you hire him because of his expertise with personal injury, and he has a legitimate interest in learning some of the consumer law side of these issues, we have another attorney who found us years ago, and he ended up switching completely to the consumer law and getting out of personal injury. So I would say if he has a legitimate interest in learning that and maybe broadening his horizons into another area of law, there is no reason that he can't become a member of what lies in your debt like a couple of other attorneys have.
Okay,
right.
That is really what I was – I'm glad that you have said that because – when he's already written these books, and he not only just sent me his ebook about a crash course in injury, he also sent me a physical book, and they also said when we take on, and they examine whether or not they're going to take on a case, they said whenever we are examining and say we will take a case, we will not charge you anything at all up front. We will take what we are agreeing upon from us winning the case. And
right, from any settlement or winning
though.
The case. Right.
Yeah, that's standard in any kind of personal injury.
Okay.
That's standard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, and I specifically wanted to hear that what Terry just said with regard to this guy because he is. For him to have taken all that time to write those books, and there wasn't just one book, then I thought this sounds like he would be an excellent candidate for what you all, and I didn't know how many other attorneys or any of that kind of stuff and that you all deal with and or that are part or members of what lies in your debt. And that is where I was going with all of my questions because there are now three reps. Now, I signed off on the one last year on September 8th, but I haven't signed off on it.
Sometimes we encounter, and they're rare, I'm going to say that, we encounter attorneys who really are interested, really do want to learn something they don't know. And the consumer protection statute arena is a completely different world from personal injury. But in many ways, it can cross, you know, it can benefit them even if they stay in personal injury. There are areas where the consumer protection statutes overlap and one can enhance the other, or they may find that they can actually make more money in the consumer protection arena a lot easier than they're making them what they're doing now. So
I agree. And find that them. Kind of, after he spent 5 years in the Missouri legislature, he said, in so many words, and he was very proper about all of it. He said they lobby the legislature every day to take more and more of your rights away as an injury
yep.
victim. And having read his materials, I'm like, well, maybe I should ask you all if there's somewhere on the website or just everything I've already studied specifically so he can, you know, because I'm in TCPA, you know. I'm in that part because I'm done with the foreclosure thing. And again, I didn't know where to direct him once he would become a member.
Just as a really good example, right now the situation you're going through no fault of your own, of course, all of a sudden all these creditors are breathing down your neck and you know, demanding money that you shouldn't owe in the first place. And that is inevitably, if not already, negatively impacting your credit worthiness and your financial life. You know, so that's what I'm talking about, where these areas of law can overlap, can merge. And if the attorney has a good understanding of both the personal injury side and the consumer side, you're a lot better off with that attorney.
Yes, and I was thinking that, but again, my problem is, like Dave said, those insurance companies have deep pockets, and the very first thing this guy said in his crash course on injury, he said, the very first thing he said is, when the adjusters call you, they are not your friends. Don't think
exactly.
they are.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Oh, believe me.
And so
those, let me tell you one little thing. I don't know if it works the same in the personal injury stuff, but I've talked to people that go out and work for the insurance companies doing the writing the claims and stuff for after hurricanes and stuff like that. They get a chunk of the money. Those adjusters get a chunk of the money. So what's their incentive is to pay you less.
Yes, that's what he said. He didn't say exactly what you just said, but pretty close.
Right.
And when he and I talked, he said, you know I'm a dreamer, but I'd go for five times your losses. And he said, they may not do it, but you can't hurt by asking. And I thought, and I added up the losses, because, of course, the lost wages has been phenomenal. And it's not like I make a lot of wages owning or, you know, being a 1099 in the first place. But then I added it all up, and it's worth hiring them. And then I got to thinking, I'm not at the end of the statute of limitations on that one 3 years ago. And so that's why I bothered to ask all of you at this level, because I have been all over that website.
We don't deal with the personal injury stuff. See, that's a specialty.
Yeah.
That, you know, the consumer debt related stuff is a whole completely different area than personal injury.
Oh, yeah.
And the personal injury, believe me, there is, when it comes into the medical stuff and everything, there's a lot more money behind the attorneys there than there is behind the attorneys in debt collection, because most of the attorneys that are in debt collection are the ones that couldn't make it in any other kind of legal work. They're the ones that graduate
at
the bottom
Dave.
20%
that's
of
right.
their class. So,
well,
you know, your particular situation. Yeah. Well,
because
your particular situation with a personal injury, it absolutely almost demands, in my view, that you hire an attorney, or you can effectively figure you get nothing if you try and do it yourself.
Yeah, and I almost did on that last wreck. I did hire an attorney on the one the 8th of September last year, not 19, but 18, and they were a mill, and I finally just shut up until they were just wanting to hurry up and sweep that thing away, and that's why I came out with anything. but I was out $50,000, and they were all happy to settle on 29, and they got 33% of that.
Yeah.
And then they were going to divvy it all up between the hospital and all of that, and I said, no, I'm not gonna walk out of this with $2,000. That doesn't take care of my car, medical bills, or anything at the level that you're talking about. And I just sucked it up. But this time, I did a broader search. And when this guy called me back, he said that is considered a mill, an attorney mill, and I didn't know the difference. So. Okay. Well,
live and learn.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
well, you.
You
know. Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes we learn some of these things the hard way. But I think we all on this end here pretty much agree that your best course of action would be to go talk to that attorney, let him go after it. Like he says, five times. And it gives you room to negotiate down some. You know, you never start low and expect to be able to go up in negotiations. It doesn't work that way. You start high, and then you end up getting something closer to the middle. So,
right.
You know, we deal with all that stuff as far as talking to people about those things. But, yeah, that I think is your best course of action, to be honest with you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And good luck.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's see what we got left on the board here. We're done with that one. Oh, geez. You know, I'm not seeing any other hands up. If anybody has got a question, you know, LaGretta was talking about things she had somebody. I don't see a hand up. She said she was going to come back in. I don't see where she is in. And it would look like maybe we are done now. Yeah, I think that's it. From what I can see on the board.
Sounds like a winner. I'm hungry. I haven't even eaten dinner, Dave, so I'm okay.
Yeah, well, you need to eat dinner, and I think I'm going to go attack that last little bit of Bluebell ice cream I've got in the freezer in there.
oh, you're too funny, man.
Oh, man. Well, you got to treat yourself once in a while. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. John is doing the webinar on Wednesday. John, you want to give everybody a preview of what you're going to be covering on Wednesday in the webinar?
Protecting your money.
I'm so surprised. And he's so good at that. And
right?
I got to get on that call.
Dave has made me just really need a cookie.
Yeah, blame it on me. I got broad shoulders. Okay, well, anyway, that's going to be
you
at 3 o'clock
it,
Eastern on Wednesday to join John. And I got to try and in fact, I got to schedule. I've actually got it on my scheduler here because John may need me to run the board. But we'll do that. And, of course, Terry's call is Thursday night. And for anybody that's on here that doesn't have Terry's information, just go ahead and send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com and say, please put me on the list. And she'll send a call reminder out to you. Make sure you capture that information because she doesn't send one out every week anymore. But her call is 8 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday night. And, of course, their next open Tuesday night call is going to be 2 weeks from today, which will be February 4th. Man. We're going to be in February the next time we have one of these. Christmas was just last week.
Quickly goes by, my friend.
Oh, my God.
It quickly goes by, buddy.
Oh, man, I tell you. Yeah, and the older you get, the faster it goes, believe me. And I can testify.
Hell yeah,
that.
Man.
I think I'm the oldest one on
here. Time of year, because every day is closer to daylight savings time. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, we're only about 6 weeks. Yep, we're only about 6 weeks for daylight savings.
There,
and I've noticed a big difference. We got the better part of a half hour more daylight in the afternoon already. So I'm liking that.
My watch will be right again.
Yeah, Terry's only got 6 weeks to wait until her watch is correct again. All right, well, Jesse, I'll turn it over to you to put the wrapper and the bow on it.
I just want to thank our moderators. Of course, we cannot do it without you guys and, you know, everybody that's joined up. We can't thank you enough, guys. It's New Year. We've had some little flurry, not much, but some of the new signups, which is awesome. And, again, just want to thank everybody. God bless everybody. Have a great week. And, John, we'll see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow, brother. I might
All right.
catch up because I'll be on the road myself for a few hours. I got nothing else to do. So drive, drive, drive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, Terry.
All righty. Well, Jesse, tell Danny I said hi.
I sure will, buddy. You guys have a terrific night, man. I appreciate it.
All right. You too. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow afternoon.
Bye-bye. Yeah, man.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Thank you.